differences in brain functioning can be empowering. Seeking help is okay. The goal in life is not to be perfect. The goal in life is to progress. It's a playground. It's a classroom. It's not a final exam. Hey yo, busy brain. Welcome to my podcast. I am Camden Hainsworth, ADHD advocate, coach, and member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Understanding my own ADHD diagnosis completely changed the course of my life for the better. Now it is my mission and joy to provide you with the tools to do the same. Join me weekly. Let's create real results that work with your neurodivergence and reflect a confident life of self-acceptance, growth, and satisfaction. Welcome to the Busy Brain Saint podcast. Let's get growing. Hello, you made it. I'm so happy that you're here. My brain is busy and my heart is full. Today's episode is titled, It's Okay to Be Different. I am going to highlight, if you're a woman with ADHD, menstrual cycle is something you're going to want to pay attention to, because with our time blindness, it might feel like we are on top of the world and can accomplish everything like we do in the first week or so of our menstrual cycle. And then we blink our eyes and we feel like it's been 2 days and we're at the latter end of our menstrual cycle. And we're like, why can't I do anything? Why am I so emotional? And that is highly impacted. Estrogen levels highly impact our ability to think clearly. So I think it's a great time for me at the latter end of my cycle to talk a little bit about my past. And essentially, what would I tell myself, my younger self, now knowing that I have this neurodivergent brain, this brain that works differently than everyone else? What would she need to know? And I've hopefully already gotten out some of the emotions as I've been preparing for this. But if not, that's okay. It's good for us to lean into the emotions. So I've got 8 bullet points. Let me see. Yeah. 8 different bullet points here. I'm going to read through them first, and then maybe we'll get into some detail. So the first thing I tell myself is, you are not stupid. The second thing is, your brain works differently. Number 3 is, seeking help is okay. Number 4, you're not alone. Number 5, you do have strengths. Number 6, self-compassion is key. Number 7, advocate for yourself. And number 8, it's not a limitation, it's a difference. I grew up in California. I currently live in Utah. And so I'm going to be speaking about my ADHD story through that context. I don't know if my family was lower middle class, if we were poor, if we were well off, because I think that's all depending upon you as a listener, where you're coming from. But I will tell you that regardless of what the numbers were of how much money my parents had, and the fact that I'm the oldest of 7 kids, the 7th wasn't born until I was in my 20s. So I kind of grew up as the oldest of 6 kids, I guess you could say. By the time I was a sophomore, my youngest sister was born. And so we had a big family in a place where big families weren't really accepted well. I love all my siblings. I actually enjoyed having a big family. Maybe it was because I wasn't very reflective, but also I just loved them and I had great parents. They loved us and I feel like they did the best for us. And my mom always said that she wouldn't take credit for any of the good or the bad that we did. She noticed that what we achieved was because of ourselves, and she would always be very proud of us, but not in a way that took the attention off of us and onto her. She was always really awesome about that. And so I think I know all of my siblings are different, but I really appreciated the home that I grew up in, even though it was kind of rough at times. So I set that groundwork here just so that maybe these messages that I would tell my younger self make a little bit more sense. Elementary school was great. I remember playing team ball. I remember it always came down to Burke Beauregard and myself playing team ball. I think, I don't know what they call it anymore, but it's kind of like dodgeball, I guess. But you play on a volleyball court without the net and you just throw. We used a volleyball. But you just throw a volleyball as hard as you can across the line. And if you catch it, then the other person is out. And if you dodge it, then you both still in. And if you peg someone, then they're out. And so it would always come down to two of us. And it was the best game. I can only imagine how sweaty and dirty I was at the end of recess playing that game. But it was one of my favorite memories, as well as street hockey and throwing the football around on the streets with the guys. And I had some really sweet friends, sweet girlfriends in elementary school that we go to the roller rink with. And I was very blessed to have great people in my life when I was young. And at church as well, I felt sustained and loved. I remember loving singing time. I remember I had one friend, Kelly. She's a year older than me, and she's a little sassy. It was like complete opposites with us. I was like, Miss, like, don't want to get in trouble. And she was always like pushing the envelope. And I remember singing at the top of her lungs. I loved the song Search, Ponder, and Pray. I loved, that's a really sweet memory of mine, is singing time in primary growing up. So those years weren't, my awareness of me being different really wasn't too extreme until, you know, there were a couple moments with my teachers that academically they could see that I was struggling, and mainly with my reading. Everything else I did pretty well, and I eventually was able to help myself with that reading. But middle school, as with many people, is when things started to get really, really tough. And I don't want to take, this is taking a bit of time here, but I, there's so much to say. There's so much to say. But in terms of you're not stupid, I noticed that I was in classes in my middle school that a lot of the popular and wealthier kids weren't in. And they were also, this group of wealthier girls in particular were also very academic. And so they were on like a whole different team of teachers. And I noticed that. I remember thinking, why am I on the lightning bolts? And why are they on the, I can't remember what it's called. But another team that it was called, like, what's happening here? Is it because I'm academically more slow? And my teachers didn't ever give me that impression. But it was something that I did notice. I emotionally, I think, matured slower. And so I felt like that was something that I was kind of stupid about. I didn't feel confident being away from my mom and from my family. I was kind of like homesick very quickly. I remember going to sixth grade camp and my sixth grade teacher being really sweet when I kind of broke down and let her know that I was being homesick. And so developmentally, a lot of these kids had moved past that, and I was still dealing with those emotions. I'm just looking at my notes. I was definitely ultra sensitive, and kids are mean in middle school. They were mean. They said a couple things, you know, made fun of the fact the first time I shaved my legs, I only did it up to my knee. Well, I didn't know. I was like the oldest girl, and you know, it was my first time. I'm sure my mom didn't need to correct that behavior for me. It's not like it was a necessary part. And so that was embarrassing. And I remember just that rejection sensitivity setting in so thick. I just started shaking, bawling right outside my seventh grade history class with all of my, you know, people looking on to me. And man, the rejection was so intense. And then, you know, groups of friends saying that my shorts were too long. And I thought, and they were my shortest pair of shorts, you know, and they were my fancy shorts from Nordstrom that my grandma bought me. Like there were just so many interesting things that kind of stand out. And I know that this isn't just ADHD, but looking back, I just want to say that that ultra sensitivity you're having to being away from your family, ultra sensitivity to the way that people are talking about you, ultra sensitivity, whether it's because you're less financially well off or whatever else might be, it is because your brain is different and you don't need to change that. Hold on to your emotions, hold on to who you are. Here are some tools to help you cope and get through that. You're not stupid. And then of course, high school and college academics were just really, really difficult. And I always knew I was going to be last and the worst as like, what's it called? Little fish in a big pond is kind of how it felt like. Like I could get into the AP classes, I could get into the, you know, the best teams, but I could never see my worth. I was thankful just to be there. You know, I was just thankful to be there. And that wasn't the right attitude. You're not stupid, Camden. That's what I tell her. You're just being measured with the wrong measuring stick. Number two, your brain works differently. It's a great one to come right after it. Differences in brain functioning can be empowering. I remember I'd lock myself in my room and just draw. It wasn't great, but I would just look at photographs and then see if I could replicate them with the pencil and paper. And I'd draw and I'd get sucked into that for hours. I loved it so much. I remember getting hyper-focused on juggling a soccer ball, not three balls. I actually did juggling with, like, you know, circus juggling in middle school. That was fun. So I did learn that skill there. But soccer juggling the ball was so much that, like, I would come in for dinner and, like, my dinner plate was bouncing up and down because I had been watching my soccer ball for so long. I didn't catch on to the, I think I've talked to you guys about this before, but I didn't catch on to the choreography as quickly in high school. But I would focus in and I'd be very determined to get that done. And then that would help me be more successful with dance. So my brain worked differently. It just needed a little bit more buffer time in order for me to sort out the details. Whereas other people picked it up really quickly, executed well, and then became disinterested or moved on to other things. It's like my brain worked on reverse. It took me longer to get them, but once I got them, they stayed. I could probably still do some dances from seventh and eighth grade that I learned because they are so wired in me. And I wish that I was kidding. But this is really, it really was how my brain worked differently in college. It was the same thing. And I think because I was an elementary education major, this was really welcomed, the creativity, thinking outside of the box, thinking for the students, learning versus, you know, a college lecture classroom. That's not what a fourth grader is going to want to participate in. So I started to notice that my brain working differently really was an advantage in many ways. But once again, when it comes down to putting grades into a grade book, or making sure that they're done on time for report cards, or a parent comes in and says, "Hey, how's my kid doing in math?" And all of a sudden I have to, like, have evidence of how they're doing with papers is not helpful. Oh, the things that I'd go back and change if I were to teach again. But my brain works, Camden, your brain works differently. Oh my gosh, it does. Yes. It's not being measured appropriately for how it's supposed to show up. What a relief that would have been. Seeking help is okay. Now, this is something that I've kind of pondered back and forth, is if I would have wanted to have an ADHD diagnosis in the 90s, as a girl with my people pleasing tendencies. I wonder if it would have really broken me. I wonder if it would have been really difficult if I would have been given that chance now. I still think it's already a little bit difficult for my daughter. And also there's so much more knowledge, specifically since post-COVID. I think more people are much more understanding, and they're understanding how it impacts the brain and why accommodating people with ADHD or neurodivergence is actually beneficial in the long run, because they are excellent producers once they're given what they need. So I think seeking help, if I could have taken what we know and the culture of what we know now in the 2020s, and brought that back to the 1990s. Did you just say that? 2020s to the 1990s? Oh, no, that would have been 1919s. Don't mind my brain right there. But I think it would have been amazing to be able to seek help, to have a tutor, to have somebody to help me through that learning capability. And my mom did such a great job trying to tutor me through all my history. I remember in history, she told me, like, Famous Amos cookie makers was to help me remember, like, the something empire in European history class I was taking. Anyway, she tried so hard to, like, tie it all together for me. And yet, you know, it wasn't enough, because it wasn't necessarily aligned with what my brain needed. And I don't blame her for that by any means.
I love where this is going. We'll be right back. Hey, busy brains. We are going to be doing something a little different with Mindful, my group coaching program for ADHD adults. We will have open enrollment, and then that enrollment will close for a time until it is opened again. So whether you are listening to this in real time or whether it's months from now, head to my website, CamdenADHDCoaching.com/mindful, to find out where we are in that season. Our first closed enrollment will start on April 1st. So you have just about 10 days to decide if you are going to be a part of Mindful for the next few months. When we come back, it's most likely that the program will be even more improved. In addition to that, the price will probably go up. So if you get in now at the price that it's at, you will be able to keep that price for as long as you'd like to stay in Mindful. Mindful is a small group coaching setting where you're going to be with other people that understand your brain, that understand your life, and especially as we've been talking through the context of ADHD and childhood, they know what you've been through. Mindful is a beautiful place to get face-to-face coaching with me, your coach, to help you achieve your goals and to help you make sense of why you keep falling into the same patterns and habits over and over again. I could think of nothing more wonderful to start off my spring and summer than to get to know you and to have the opportunity to coach you. I want to remind you as well that your health savings account and your flexible spending account can support you with ADHD coaching. Definitely talk to your provider, but it has been one of the biggest reliefs for me to know that my HSA will actually cover my ADHD coaching. Once again, that website is Camden with a K, ADHDcoaching.com/mindful. Take a look and we'll head on back to the show. Okay. Number four, you're not alone. Wow. I would have loved to go back and find out how many different people with ADHD were actually around me. I mean, I can guess now. I can look at, like, I think I've talked about this before, but my, as a co-captain of the varsity soccer team, and she was our class president for a while. And I just, like, look back, I'm like, I swear to you, Noelle had ADHD. And for any of you guys listening to this podcast that know her, great. But she was so hyperactive. She was so driven, so excited, had such incredible ideas, really could get a crowd going. She went on to play soccer on the university level. She did well enough to, you know, graduate high school, graduate college, went on to travel with the women's national soccer team as a videographer. And I'm like, man, so much of her story lines up with ADHD. Noelle Juglay, if you're out there and you have ADHD, please let me know. Anyway, I did get a text a few weeks ago from a friend of mine, and we were friends slash acquaintances depending upon the year and what classes we were in. But I always loved Katie, and she reached out to me and she's like, all right, I am looking back into my ADHD again, and I saw that you were interviewed on a podcast, and I just want you to know that everything you explained about your high school experience is exactly what I was going through at the same time. And that was so validating because she was in, like, all the same AP classes with me, and she also didn't pass any AP class tests. And it would be really, really awesome to know that I wasn't alone, and that I could have that little huddle of people that had similar brains to mine and feel in, not just out. Okay, next one is you have strengths. So I knew of my strengths. Once again, I think I had parents that were really, they encouraged me to use my strengths. And as the oldest, I had to do that. And I enjoyed being a leader. I knew that I was a good athlete. I knew that I liked music. But sometimes it's like my expectation for myself of how to use those strengths were actually not necessarily how they needed to be used. I'm remembering something I want to share real fast. I hope I haven't shared it already on the podcast, but in seventh grade, I made it into an advanced choir. It was called Ensemble. And my mom had helped me learn like this phrase. And she always used to say, you got to sell it, Camden. And so when you're up on the stage, like you had to smile and like get people involved. So nodding your head, like showmanship, essentially. And then like so many of us, you give us a drop in the bucket and we will put the fire hydrant in there. And so I was up on the riser singing this song and I was selling it, right? I was like moving my head and my body and smiling. And I was sure I was just over the top, right? There was no chill about this performance. And one of my friends next to me, she simply like put her hand out and like said, like, chill, Camden. She didn't say anything. She just like put her hand out. And she did say to me something like, you're doing a great job, but you can just tone it down a little bit. And I was like, oh, okay. And looking back, I wonder if our instructor asked her, like our choir director asked her to do that. And she did it really gently. It was very kind. He may have known that if he said that to me, I would have been mortified, like, because I was such a teacher's pet. And then I totally forgot and I started doing it again. And we were in a performance. She just put her hand out and I remembered and I chilled down. So, like, ADHDers, we have no chill. Even our strengths, we take to the extreme sometimes. But learning self-compassion and patience with myself, regardless of that frustration, would have been really cool. Another funny experience is I remembered in that same choir, it was 8th and 7th grade choir. There was only 21 girls and we killed it. I mean, we took home so many trophies in Southern California. It was so fun. But one of the girls, her name was Corrine, and she would always bring nail polish. She's really into nail polish. She had so many, just like huge amounts of nail polish. So we'd paint our nails when we were getting ready for like competitions and stuff. And I had never used nail polish before, but I loved art. And so of course, what do I do the first time I get nail polish? I'm going to do stripes and dots and different colors and like all the things, right? Can you imagine with me how thick each nail was of nail polish? Like so thick, it would have taken 100 years to dry. And the periods were only 50 minutes, right? And so then kind of out of embarrassment of how bad they looked, because just because you're artistic doesn't mean you know how to work with lacquer, you know, nail lacquer. And so I was like, why didn't you bring any nail polish remover? You bring all this nail polish, but you wouldn't bring nail polish remover. And I just kept saying that because I couldn't notice that I was embarrassed. I was just trying to place the blame and find a solution. And everyone's just kind of shrugging their shoulders like, sheesh, Camden, why are you getting so passionate about this? So once again, like the strengths was art and the strengths was the ability to see things visually in my brain and to try to do them. Like nobody was holding me back. Like I was convinced that I was going to have the coolest nails of everyone. Right. And then I worked that strength into like, once again, no chill, overdoing it. Developmentally in 7th grade to learn how to deal, like come down from something like that and think, oh, I'm a little dysregulated right now. I'm feeling embarrassed. It's actually not her job to bring, you know, fingernail polish remover, et cetera, et cetera. That skill is not necessarily accessible, but I would still go back and tell her that. Camden, you have strengths. This is your first time doing it, and it's okay that you, you know, kind of messed up. But I do remember being quite mortified and wondering why I did that. Why did I think I could do that? Why, like, it just felt unhinged. And I don't know, like, how my brain, why did my brain completely take over? It's funny the things that we remember. Okay, self-compassion is key. So it's kind of similar. It goes with that, right? So when we make mistakes, it's okay to have some self-compassion. Be kind to yourself. Living with ADHD can be very frustrating, but it's really, really crucial that we practice self-compassion. We practice patience. We acknowledge our talents, acknowledge our strengths, and then acknowledge when things don't go as planned and or don't go as fast as we want them to, or when things don't just kind of blindside us, that even if it feels small, have self-compassion. Nobody is perfect. It's okay to make mistakes. And the goal in life, I think this is another one, that the goal in life is to not be perfect. is not to, well, I said that. I think I did okay with this sometimes, but I could have done better if it was more well accepted, obviously. I did learn to talk with teachers, but I didn't know what to ask for. And they didn't think I had ADHD, right? Maybe they thought that I just wasn't as smart as the rest of the kids. And I don't blame them. There's probably ways that I wasn't. Like, I was not made to be good at history. Like, it's just not my thing. Unless you want me to, like, write a book or do a piece of art about something from history. Like, that is something I can do because I'm going to feel it. I'm going to internalize it. I'm going to try and create something that is worthwhile so that we don't repeat that piece of history. But ask me to spit off the dates and the times and the places and the names, for Pete's sake, the names. It's so embarrassing to me. There's actually a social media account that I have been following for a while, and they ask a lot of questions of random people about current political issues, situations, current pop culture, etc. And I pray to goodness I am never in front of that camera. I tell myself every time I watch that, walk away. When people say, hey, would you be willing if we ask you a couple questions, just say no, because I will always be the person that says yes. And I'm gonna say no. I'm gonna walk away. No, Camden, walk away, because my recall and my brain does not work in a way that it remembers that kind of information. But I have a face and I can tell you what movie they were in, possibly, and why I liked their acting and their character development and what I think makes them great or not great in terms of their, you know, what they produced. Yes. Sure. Great. But see, that you're measuring the question with the right measurement tool for me instead of the wrong one. So learning how to ask for what I needed would have been really helpful, and knowing that would have probably helped me get through school. All right. Lastly, it's not a limitation. It's a difference. ADHD doesn't define you, Camden, that it is a part of who you are. Embrace your differences and focus on what you can achieve rather than what you struggle with. With the right support and mindset, you can thrive and lead a fulfilling life. I think I need to hear that today as well. It is a difference. People are still mean now, you know, not straight out mean, but they're happy to point out differences and to belittle the differences. I've said this before, but because I work within such an ADHD driven world with all of you, with other coaches with ADHD, with other communities with ADHD, I feel like I belong. And then every so often I will step out into the neurotypical world, or PS, into a world where people do not acknowledge their neurodivergence or haven't learned about them yet, because remember, I have that radar. And I remember just how different I am. And yet we are called upon to do so many great things. And people put so much trust in us because of who we are. They don't want us to be like them. They want to hire us. They want to be around us. They want to learn from us because of our differing perspective. So on one side of their mouth, they're saying, please let me come and learn from you. And the other, they're like, look at how different you are. Look at how insufficient you are. Look at how naive you are. And that's where it gets a little bit freaky. That's where it gets really hard. And that's where that rejection sets in. But if we can remember that overall, this doesn't have to be a limitation of our ability to succeed in life, but rather a difference, we can expect beautiful things. Yesterday, I was on a call with my mentor, and she was talking about her business and how she's grown it to be the, you know, million-dollar producing business that it is. And I was absolutely impressed with the caliber of her assistants and the team that she's created to understand who she is and to show up because of who she is. And one of the coolest, well-developed assistants, She said, "It's my job. It's the exchange that I give. She gives me money and I give her my services. And so if she shows up fully aware that maybe she's a mess and doesn't have her stuff together, it's my job to be okay with that because that's the exchange that we give." And it was just a really interesting and beautiful working relationship. And so finding your people that will honor you for who you are while you're still trying to get on top of your life, while also understanding that not everything's going to change overnight, that sounds like a beautiful place to be. ADHD is challenging. And depending upon the measurement stick, it can limit our ability to perform by certain standards and question those standards. Are there other ways that would be more appropriate to define and to reflect the person that you are? I have an entire sheet of more stories. and yet these 8 messages, I think, are the most important for you to hear today and for me to hear today. It's a more personal episode, and I still feel like it's exactly what we need to be reminded of more often. Before I sign off, if you have a child with ADHD, it's also okay that it might be hard to parent them. And there may be truth to the fact that you were not always an easy kid to parent. My mom says that I was an easy kid, and I kind of believe her. But not all people with ADHD were easy kids to parent. And that's not your fault. That's not your fault. Both can be true. It could be a challenge to parent you, and it could not be your fault. If you didn't understand your brain, if you weren't given tools and developed mentally, you were not in a place yet to start to take over your brain and manage it independently. And if your parents or caregivers didn't have those tools either, it would be very, very challenging to help someone with ADHD succeed. And yet that doesn't take away from your worth or your willingness or your goodness. Your parents can say that it was a challenge. You can say that it was a challenge, and they can both be true. And if you are currently parenting someone with ADHD and you're at your wit's end and you're feeling like that you're lost and hopeless, hang in there. It's okay for it to be hard, and you can still love your kid. It's okay for parenthood to not be easy, and your kid can still be the most incredible, worthwhile human, even when it's difficult. Not very often do I hear social media people or podcasters validate the experience of having ADHD and then parenting someone with intense ADHD. And that's not fair, because it's important for you to know. Validation makes a big deal. Just because you say it's hard doesn't mean that you're saying you don't love your kid. Giving up would be less hard, right? I haven't had time to think all the way through that. But what I'm saying here is giving up and saying, oh, parenting is no big deal because you don't care about your child, that is a little bit less helpful. And so the fact that parenthood is challenging you often means that you're willing to put in the work because you care and you love and you hope for a better future for them. Please know how much I am cheering you on, and I love you.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Busy Brained Saint podcast. If you're eager to explore the world of ADHD coaching, make sure to connect with me on Instagram at Camden_ADHD or visit my website, CamdenADHDCoaching.com. For more LDS-specific ADHD content, don't forget to follow this podcast and join us on Instagram at The Busy Brained Saint. Listen, I'm here to support you on your journey. I cannot wait to have you as a part of our community.
Stay engaged, stay inspired, and remember, you're not alone here. Thanks for being a part of the Busy Brain Saint family.